Our scripture reading today is found on page 1265 of the Pew Bible. It's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Our rules for holy living. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Hence there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we have together to come into your house and to worship so freely. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here, and I thank you especially for your presence among us. Lord, I thank you for this reading of your word that gives us guidance on how we should live our lives. Lord, we know that old things are passed away and all things are become new. I just pray that you will be with us now as we listen to the word that our pastor has to share, that our hearts would be encouraged and opened and strengthened. Lord, that we would walk in all humility before you, and Lord, that you would give us the strength that we need in order to obey you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have you made any resolutions for 2009? And if you have you broken them already? I was reading in the paper that in order for someone to quit smoking, they have to try quitting at least 50 times before they succeed. Now, if there is any smoker here and says, okay, then I can try 50 times before I quit. That's not what I'm trying to say. That's what this person said. And then, of course, we see the United Nations and countries coming up with resolutions to stop the war. And they say, okay, now we agree to stop the war. Starting Monday, there will be no more war. And they've done that maybe 100 times, and the war continues. We make resolutions. We give promises. We make commitments. And again, when you meet two people who are about to get married, and it has happened with me when I counsel the young people, they will swear on the Bible that they will love each other forever, and they will make a commitment to love for better or worse. That is until the first argument. And those promises are broken. And those commitments are gone. And then you hear Christians who will give a testimony. And then you will hear 2 billion, well, at least we know that 2 billion people claim to be Christians. And many of them will be willing to give up their lives for their religion. They made a commitment to a religion. Yesterday, I had an opportunity in our own business for those who are probably reaching us on the website, they will say, what kind of business you're running, Pastor? Well, I am a bivocational pastor, as you know, and we run our own business, my wife and I. A Jewish gentleman came in with a French-Canadian lady. And after about a minute, they switched, actually. I made a comment and they switched to religion. And I was talking with them and they both said that they are sick and tired of religion and they are turned off by religion. Well, this is nothing new because we daily meet, my wife and I, young people who come in and we want to talk to them about faith. They will say, no, I'm not a religious person. I've left the church long time ago. And that is until I start talking to them about their own personal life and their situation. And then they will open up and say that they do have some faith. They do believe in a God that they don't know yet. And you realize that the problem today with many people who have left the church, who have left religion, who hate religion, and also they turn their back to God or gods or whatever they used to believe, is because those who made commitments to God have broken their commitments and they have become bad examples to those who are searching to find the real God. In Colossians chapter 3, the Christians are reminded by Paul about their own resolution, their commitment to follow Christ. Verse 1 says, since then, that is, since you have made that commitment, then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, the believer is seen as having died with Christ, having been buried with Him, and having risen with Him from among the dead. If so, then the question that we all must answer to ourselves is, am I living like one who has died with Christ? Have I said goodbye to the old sinful way of life and entered into a new type of life or not? And this question is often avoided. We make a commitment. I have made many commitments to my wife that I will appreciate her cooking until the next time that I think it's too salty, no salt. I've broken already that commitment. That's a small little example. But we make commitments and then we don't stick to our commitment. We say to God we love Him, but no, we don't love Him because we do the things that He hates. We say that I have surrendered my life to the Lord. I surrender all to Thee. I give. What? We haven't surrendered very much, have we? And Apostle Paul is writing to these believers in that church, in that area, and says, you remember what you've done since you made those commitments, since you've surrendered your life to the Lord. You must not live as you did live before. And if we have been raised with Christ, then we should seek the things from above and not from this earth. And because we are still on earth and subject to the worldly pressures and temptations, we should set our minds on heavenly, spiritual things, not only on the earthly things. The Bible indicates that where our heart is, there will our soul be. And when I put that down, I said, that may be misunderstood. Where our heart is, that's where our soul will be. And then I thought about it, and I said, that's not true. Having been stuck to my business, for example, all the time, and all I'm thinking is my business, then my soul is there. If I'm always thinking about that drink that makes me happy or makes me forget my pain and my suffering, then if I am stuck with that, then my soul is there. And if someone's heart is stuck to earthly pleasures or or even doctrine, or even churchianity or Christianity, if your faith and if your Christianity is, if your religion is Christianity and not Christ, then you miss the point. The problem with the believers was and still is that although they called themselves Christians, they were not really living like Christians should. They actually were living lives that were not any different than the lives of unbelievers. And here someone may say, well, you're getting into trouble now because most Christians I know, they live as they lived before. And that's so true. You go to weddings and you don't know whether you are in a Christian wedding or a worldly wedding. You go to a church sometimes and you listen, you try to listen to the music and you don't know whether you are in a nightclub or a church. You go to a family gathering and you're not sure whether this family is Christian or not Christian. Because now we have compromised, we have brought down, lowered the standard, and almost anything goes in the church. And if anything goes in the church, then anything goes in the family. And if anything everything goes in the family, then everything and anything goes with the individual. Our children, our grandchildren look at our lifestyle and the way we live, and they copy us. And so Apostle Paul reminds them where they were before and the kind of life they were living. And just in case they needed to be reminded, he names some things and ways that they came out from. And then he warns them of the consequences of sin in their lives and the wrath of God. The wrath of God is removed from the church. I don't know, you may say, well, okay, now we are saved by grace, and so what? I mean, we're going to talk about the wrath of God. But the Bible, the entire Bible, talks about love, but also about the wrath of God. God created Adam and Eve perfect. If there was a perfect couple on this earth, it was Adam and Eve. They were created in His image. They were pure, holy. And if there was ever a creature in the heavens that was clean and holy and beautiful, was Satan himself, was an archangel. But when they broke God's law, when they rebelled against God, look what happened to them. And so the wrath of God does not mean He's there with a big machine gun or whatever, an atomic bomb, and He's going to kill every Christian or everyone who sins. No, that's not what it means. It means when you ignore God, when you knowingly turn your back, and when you knowingly, the premeditated sinning, just ignoring God's promises and your promise to God. That's what the Bible says. Verses 5 and 7. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality. Well, we don't call it sexual immorality now. They call it relationships. They will go even as far as to say, well, you know what? God led me to this new person. Therefore, because this new person is a good believer and is filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm planning to leave my wife or my husband. You know what? This is going on, and believe it or not, I've had people who met with me to share their thoughts of leaving their spouse because the Holy Spirit called them to someone else. Impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. You say these things are in the church, in our families, in us? Well, I'm not going to point a finger, but you be the judge. Verse 6 says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. You used to walk, not you walk. People think that they can sin and escape punishment, but God is not mocked, the Bible says. The wrath of God is coming on those who disobey God. And if you want a good example, take the children of Israel. For 40 years they wandered and in the desert. God had promised them a land, a beautiful place, and they could have crossed that desert in 40 days. And it took them 40 years. No, it didn't take them 40 years. They never made it to the promised land, but for 40 years they wandered. Many thousands of them were killed, punished. The wrath of God is that. And only few made it to the promised land and their children. If your life does not demonstrate the new life of Christ, you have missed the whole point. These are severe words that the Bible has. If you have not, let me read that again. If your life does not demonstrate the new life of Christ, you have missed the whole point. What is the whole point, you ask? Well, the whole point, as I explained it to the Jewish gentleman who came yesterday, that the whole point is to recognize God, to believe in God, to believe that there is a creator, not that I came from the monkeys or some dust or some explosion. The whole point is God has created me. And the whole point is God made this earth or created this earth so good, so wonderful that I can survive on this earth. But also He loved us when we sinned against Him as His creation, that eventually He, God, in the person of Jesus, the Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only, His only begotten Son. I cannot explain the Trinity, but I believe in the Trinity. I believe that the triune God, and because God so loved us, He sent His Son to bring us a way out from eternal death into eternal salvation. That's the point. The point is that Jesus came and died and opened the door, and He said, I am the door to eternal life. And if you walk through that door, you will have eternal life. Your sins will be forgiven. And then Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. That will be your comforter, but also your inspector. He's going to sort of convict you of sin. And you better follow me. Jesus said to the disciples, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Well, that's the point. This is faith in Christ. Now, the rest is all religion. Religion that has been twisted, Christianity has been adopting a lot of paganism, and paganism has been adopting a lot of Christianity. Other religions have been adopting each other's theories, and so now people are confused. But the point is, there is a creator, there is Jesus who came, gave His life for our salvation. And He wants us to live lives that are very much a reflection of Him. The Apostle Paul once again reminds them of their commitment to follow Christ and the available power to help them live godly lives in the Spirit. When He says, follow me, when He says, live holy lives or godly lives, He doesn't say, okay, do it on your own. He says, no, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and I am there to help you do it. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power. In Galatians 5:25, we read, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He then goes on to tell them that they should not participate in or even have evil thoughts. He actually tells them to put off these things like a dirty garment. If you soil your garment, or if you spill something on your or jacket or your dress, the first thing you do is you try cleaning it. And if you can't clean it, you run into some place and to change that dirty garment. Well, that's exactly what we have done. When we invited Christ to come in our lives, He gave us brand new clothing, a brand new beginning, a brand new life. He took away all the soiled stuff and the dirty stuff and all the habits that were pulling us down to hell. And he gave us a brand new beginning. And he said, now take this brand new page and write good stuff on it. And instead we, like the Jews in the desert, they were thinking of the onions and the good stuff. What good stuff? They were slaves. The idea is that if you want to behave and live the way God wants you to, then you must follow Him and His instructions. And reflect Him, not the corrupt old system. Not even the, I shouldn't say even, and not the evil religious establishment. Remember that not only we have, or you have, put off the old self, but we have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of our Creator. The new self refers to our position as children of God. There has been a new creation, and we are new creatures. God's purpose is that this new self, the person, should always be growing more and more to be like the Lord Jesus, our Lord. We should never be satisfied with our present spiritual condition, but we should always press on to the goal of increasing to be like our Lord. Are you honoring your resolution to follow Christ? He is our example. And now Apostle Paul describes the Christian attitude that we are to practice and cultivate. He starts with compassion. We must have compassionate heart. And compassion is something that is so conditional these days. I will love you if you. I will help you if you. And I'll come to your church if you. And I will visit you if you. And everything we do needs to be repaid, it seems. Then he talks about kindness, speaks of the unselfish spirit of helping others. Humility means lowliness and willingness to be humbled. Gentleness does not mean weakness. It actually means mildness of manner. Gentleness is a characteristic of Jesus. Patience or long-suffering speaks of patience under provocation. Bearing with each other describes the patience we should have with the failings and odd ways of our brethren. Forgiving one another because Christ forgave us first. Love is the belt which binds, holds together all the other virtues together in order to bring perfection. Love is the belt. The peace of Christ in verse 15 is a very special peace that He alone can give us. This peace is an attitude of peace that should rule in all human relationships. This peace should rule in every and all human relationships. Peace is not only lack of war and fighting. Peace is a package deal, if you wish. Inner peace, outer peace, peace with God, peace with others, peace in our own self. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. In other words, being filled with the Spirit and being filled with God's Word are both needed for living joyful, useful, fruitful lives. Please remember that if your life does not demonstrate the new life in Christ, then you have missed the whole point of His message. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being the best example there is. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is here this morning convicting us, strengthening us, and helping us to hear your voice. Please, Lord, strengthen us, strengthen our faith, and help us to walk this journey of life, spiritual life, with your help, and reflect you in our daily lives. In your blessed name, I pray. Amen.